السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون، والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون، أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, last week we commenced some explanation of the verses, first verses of first 10 verses of Surah Mu'minun. This Suratul Mu'minun, these first 10 verses, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, any person who learns them and then practices upon them, then he will go straight to Jannat. And that was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which is found in these verses. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the mu'minun, the believers, they obtain falah. Now this falah is a very, very comprehensive word. It's a word which has a very comprehensive meaning. We all hear in the azan, Hayya ala al-falah. 5 times a day the muazzin calls, come towards success. Little children at madrasas, grade 1 children who are taught how to give the azan, or what the words of the azan are, they too are given the translation and meaning of the word falah, that come towards success. You ask a little child, Hayya ala al-falah, what did your teacher teach at the madrasa? The meaning of the word falah, he will say success. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he confirmed the azan, he taught the azan, and this Hayya ala al-falah is coming down from that time. So many other words could have been chosen. Why particularly this one word, falah? So falah has got a very, very wide meaning. The English language does not have the meaning of falah. There's no word in the English vocabulary which can give you the meaning of falah. The reason for that is that those who don't believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they don't believe in the qabr, azab, they don't believe in any kind of jannat or jahannam, and even if they do believe, then it is not the kind of belief that a Muslim is required to hold with regards to jannat and jahannam and akhirat. So it's only a person who believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, believes in his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believes in the day of judgment, believes in Jannat and Jahannam, believes in all things brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he will understand the meaning of Falah. Because the person wants success. So the person who is living just for this world, to him the meaning of success will be that he must have a mansion, he must have a big bank balance, he must own an aeroplane, he must have a yacht, he must own a ship, he must own an oil well, and anything that he desires with regards to material things, then he must obtain it or be able to buy and purchase it. So then he says he has got success. And you ask any one of those people who owns all these things, and he'll say he's a very successful person, very, very successful. Whereas that is not the meaning of Falah. Falah will mean that the person must be successful in this world, successful in the qabr, successful in the akhirat, and until he enters Jannat, he must get success right through until he enters Jannat. Then that is the ultimate success. Because in this world, a person cannot be protected from difficulties and hardships 100%. And that is not the meaning of success or falah that is intended here. Because whether the person is a waliullah, whether he is a nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether he is an ordinary citizen or layman, the person is a butcher, baker, candlestick maker or undertaker, everybody will be faced with some kind of difficulties, hardships and problems in this world. I was explaining to one person, he said that one Amil came, and the Amil checked himself, his wife, and said 100% Jadu. Any kind of sickness, any kind of pain today is 100% Jadu. Whereas most of the times it is sickness that we purchase with our own hands. So I explained to him that we do not believe everything to be jadu. So he asked him, he said, well, okay, if this is 100% jadu, then what is the cure? He said, pehle kuch cash ki baat karo, cure baad mein se. Pehle kuch cash ki baat karo. So this is our condition. So I was explaining to him that as far as sicknesses and diseases are concerned, they are very, very common today. And most of it is what we have bought with our own hands. Because even if it is a great waliullah, and if he is suffering from sugar diabetes, if he eats halwa, suji, and barfi, jalebi, and gulab jamun, all these things came up in some nikah, walima somewhere in the plate, so the person without even any consideration that he is suffering from these sicknesses, if he has to digest all that, his sugar will go up too. And it can go up very, very high, and the person can go into coma. Does not mean because he is a waliullah. So therefore these things are not going to have any effect. This is a world of means. It's going to have an effect. So in this world, a person cannot be saved and protected from difficulties, hardships, pain, suffering and problem. So would we then say that a person who is obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and he is implementing these things which we are going to discuss in this ayat, if he is bringing those things in his life, he is bringing khushu in his salat, the person is abstaining from everything that is futile, useless, something that will cause him harm in this world, in the akhirat, or it's of no benefit in this world and in the akhirat, the person is giving his zakat or is purifying his soul, the person is protecting himself from zina, from adultery, from fornication, the person is fulfilling his promises, the person is fulfilling the terms of contract and pledges, the person who is very, very particular about his salat, he is guarding his salat. Now all these type of things, if he is implementing in his life, so then it does not mean that because of that now he is not going to suffer any difficulty in this world. There will be some pain and suffering that will come upon the person. Can be the greatest of all of the awliya of the time. Because this is a world of means. It is a darul asbab. So real success is in the akhirat. when the person will be entered into Jannat, then that is the real success, complete success. However, in this world also, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system is such that those who obey Him, those who obey the Rasuls, those who obey the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah, then although they too will suffer some kind of pain, problem, somebody will die in the family, there could be an accident, there could be a burning of the property, there could be riots that took place, so there was smashing of the cars and burning of cars, and all kinds of things take place in different areas, and the righteous and the pious also, they are going to be influenced by those strikes and by those problems that will occur. It's not that they will be saved completely from it. Even though a person may have plenty of wealth, plenty of properties, plenty of the material things of this world, he too will be affected. And the person who doesn't have, he is going to be affected too. The very pious is going to be affected, and the person who is not pious, he is going to be affected too. So in this world, they are going to be affected. But Allah Ta'ala's system is this, that to those who have obeyed, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them a very special ni'mat, and that is sukoon. That they truly believe that it is from my Allah, so therefore Allah Ta'ala will give them a kind of sukoon in their hearts. That they will feel the pain and suffering together with others. But deep down in their hearts, they will have a kind of satisfaction that I am making the effort to please my Allah, and if these conditions are coming upon me and the people that I live amongst and the society, so then it is a test, and Allah Ta'ala is the one who is sending the test, so I must turn towards Him, and when He's going to turn towards Him, Allah Ta'ala will increase that sukoon. The same thing will lead to an increase of the sukoon. He was turning towards Allah Ta'ala, and now it increased his turning towards Allah Ta'ala. The waves of pain and problem and suffering sometimes increases the person's remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. We must not ask for it, but it increases it. The person who was not even remembering Allah Ta'ala starts remembering Allah Ta'ala. Now in our country at present there's the strikes. Now it's not that it's only affecting the hospitals and affecting the schools. It's affecting everybody. So the good, the bad, and everybody will be affected. So the people say then, if success in this ayat was meant, worldly and material things, so then it means Allah Ta'ala gave great success to those who have disbelieved in it. Because the Jews, the Christians, the disbelievers, they are the ones who are owning most of the wealth around the world. So it will mean that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them real success. So for that, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum's beautiful shair, which you have heard on many occasions. Dushmano ko aishabo gil diya, aur dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Dushmano ko aishabo gil diya, aur dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. Those who were the enemies of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gave them plentiful of the material world. Plentiful. They own the gold mines, they own the gold mines, the coal mines, the silver mines and the diamond mines. Everything they own. They call themselves superpowers. Everything. Dushmano ke aishabo gil diya. And whatever they have got, it is made of earth and water. The elements of earth. Whether it is cars, aeroplanes, furniture, homes, malls, and tall buildings, skyscrapers, whatever it is of the earth. Everything is of the earth. From the earth they have taken out the sand, the silver, the diamond, and everything else. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them that. Like how we give little children toys to play around, so like that they are given toys. They enjoy themselves with those toys. Aish abo gil diya. Aur dosto ko apna darde dil diya. And those who are the friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them His muhabbat. This muhabbat is a priceless commodity. It's not something that you can put a price tag on. Whomsoever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses with His muhabbat, He has been blessed with a ni'mat that the both heavens and the earth cannot pay with. So Allah ta'ala gives them His muhabbat. Does not give them too much of the material things so that they don't occupy themselves too much in it. Gives them His muhabbat. Gives them sufficiency in the world also, generally. But all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam and others who went through difficulties and hardships and they did not possess anything, or even if they had, it was taken away. So that does not mean Allah Ta'ala was displeased with them and therefore Allah Ta'ala did not give them too much of the world. But at the same time, we must never ever think that any person who has been blessed with property, wealth, gold, silver, then definitely he is cursed by Allah Ta'ala. That is why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam such a kingdom, that he didn't give to anybody that kind of kingdom. Today we have our aeroplanes. He used to fly like that with his whole army of people. He had his kingdom over the jinnat, over the creatures, over the fish in the sea. Allah Ta'ala gave him so much, so that if a person becomes multi-rich also, he cannot reach that stage of wealth which Allah Ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam with. But yet Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, enjoying great qurb and closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and enjoying the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unlimited. And on the other hand, there were some Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam who had absolutely nothing. Starvation, hunger. Allah Ta'ala kept the two so that we don't go into any extreme and say whoever has got wealth, then he is Jahannami. Or whoever hasn't got wealth, then he is Jahannami. That is not the criterion. I've mentioned many a times that's not the criterion. That's not the yardstick by which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala measures. That is in this world Allah Ta'ala gives to some people, as Hazrat says, that He gives them plentiful, but on the shore, they are on the shore, but they got restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Shahon ke saro par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shahon ke saro par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. The kings, they've got crowns, they've got thrones, they've got everything. Palaces. Everything they've got. At their beck and call, they've got thousands of servants and military and everything. But these crowns of them give them headache, plenty of headache. And the Ahle Wafa in their hearts, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give them an ocean of noor. The waves go on flowing. There is no stop to the enjoyment that they get in that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If only it was not Allah Ta'ala's hukam that they must remain, or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teaching that they must remain within society. They must live, they must marry, they must upbring the children, they must take an active part in the affairs of the society and the community. And they must be guiding light for people. Then they would have desired seclusion. One side, go find one quiet place, be secluded somewhere, in some cave or some place where nobody interferes. And then Allah, Allah, and the person gets an enjoyment. How many people in history ever do we have read of that? That they gave up big kingdoms. Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi gave up his kingdom when he got the taste and enjoyment of the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala and love of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives that to the Ahle Wafa, those who are loyal, those who are faithful, those who stick by their pledges and by their commitment, those who have pledged to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that we will obey you and your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they stick to it. Then Allah Ta'ala gives them this ocean of noor. and Allah Ta'ala gives them sukoon. So true success cannot be achieved in this world. In this world, the success is going to be this, that whomsoever Allah Ta'ala blesses with wealth, with property and with other things, then He will give them sukoon with it. That will be the success. And if He does not give it to them, material things of this world, then too He will give them sukoon in their hearts. So that's the success. But generally Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He does not deprive them of the necessities of life. Allah Ta'ala finally gives them that izzat which He gives to those who are His great walis, that they may go through difficulties and hardships, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them the best that can be achieved in this world, and that is sukoon, sukoon edil. But then in the qabr, in the akhirat, and then in jannat, of course, there's going to be no pain, no suffering, no weakness, no sickness, no poverty, no starvation, no hunger, nothing. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. So the fulfillment of complete desires is going to be in Jannat. And the greatest of all desires in the heart of any mu'min and believer can be the didar of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now once again, I cannot help but repeat, when it came away on my tongue, that the greatest ni'mat is going to be the didar of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For whom are we making our salat? Why should we in the winter months get up fajr time? For whom? Our bosses in our businesses are not forcing us to get up fajr time. In fact, most of them have a good sleep themselves. Where are they going to force us to get up fajr time in winter months? So for whom are we fasting? And for whom are we giving zakat? And for whom are we restraining our gaze from haram? VGR268GP. Looks like a Gauteng number plate. VGR268GP. Please remove your car. It's obstructing someone. So for whom are we making our salat, giving zakat, restraining our gaze? Sometimes it is as if qiyamah has come upon the heart of a person when he has to restrain his gaze from some pretty face. But at that time, to the person says, even if it is an earthquake on my heart, let it come, but I'm not going to displease my Allah Ta'ala. No matter how strong the temptation to watch the evil on the television screen or to watch the porn site, very, very strong temptation. And there's absolutely nobody in the house also. The person is alone. If there was somebody, then he could have probably felt shy. So at that time, the only thing that he was restraining, or the only one that he was restraining himself for, was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. That he believed that my Allah is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. His iman was of that level, so he restrained himself. So that doesn't he desire to see that Allah, to whom he was making all this ibadah, zikr, tilawat and everything else. So now where can he get that except in Jannat? Nowhere else he can get that. Unke rukh se niqaba jutegi, aaj nazaron ki mehraj hogi. Unke rukh se niqaba jutegi, aaj nazaron ki mehraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. At last, now he can enjoy himself. That veil which was covering Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's glory and countenance, and the nur and the tajalli, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will remove that veil to enable the people to now see in Jannat with their own eyes. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned, then he explained that there will be no problem there, just like how you look at the full moon. Nobody has any difficulty in looking at the full moon. There's no need to bump and push anybody. There's nobody, no need to climb up the mountain. The person will stand wherever he is and he will see the full moon. So like that they are going to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is the real success. There's going to be no pain, no suffering of any kind. Whatever the heart desires, Allah ta'ala will fulfill. So there has to be this desire of going into Jannat, going into the Akhirat, meeting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if we have to really be honest and truthful, then we don't have that desire. Or it's a very, very weak kind of desire. We will say it with our tongues, but if we have to be tested, we will fail. The person who truly believes that there is Akhirat and there is Jannat, then he will desire to go into Jannat. He will live in this world because it is a world in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent him to test him. It is a world of tests. Do we obey our nafs or do we obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And then Allah ta'ala wants to give him those rewards in Jannat. I mentioned once that if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had to come down, like now, if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had to come and inform all of us here that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has asked me to inform you. It's just hypothetical. So doesn't mean Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam will come down now. But if he had to come and inform all of us that alhamdulillah, mashallah, all of you who are sitting in this majlis, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala became very pleased. And he said that now whosoever desires death, he will go straight to Jannat. Straight into Jannat. Where you will get ma la aynun ra'at, wa la uzunun samiat, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, the thought didn't cross anybody's mind. And there will be no pain, no suffering, no difficulty, no hardship. Now put up your hands, all those who are ready to come with me. If Hazrat Israel alayhi salam comes and says, now put up your hands, all of those who are ready to come with me, straight to Jannat. Then too we won't put up our hands. He's not taking us to Jahannam. He didn't say, I'm going to take all of you to the fire of Jahannam. He's saying, I'm going to take all of you to Jannat. Now put up your hands and see how many of us put up our hands that I'm ready, now take me. All of us will straight away say, give us a little bit of time, let us go home a little bit, sort out our will, and let me go to my business and make some payments and sort out some other problems, and then visit us next year if possible, but not tonight. All of us will do. So that shows we haven't got the talab of Jannat. If we had the talab of Jannat, we would have said, now, right now, we are ready to go. That is what we were doing all these things for. So this falah, success, this success, the complete success, ultimate success, complete prosperity, complete victory, success, it's only going to be in Jannat. But in this world also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as I said, gives the person sukoon. Now we can discuss this word mu'minun in so many places in the Quran Sharif it has come. And the word falah also, inshallah we'll come to it again if Allah ta'ala wills. But let's go to the next part of it. Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Now who are those people who have obtained success? What kind of sifat they have? What kind of attributes they have? What is so special about them in their akhlaq, in their character? What is very, very conspicuous in their lives? First thing Allah Ta'ala mentions is fi salatihim khashi'un. Humility in the salat. They've got khushu in the salat. Khushu is the opposite, or it is what we term as opposite of movement. That the person, there's no movement in his body. His mind is at rest. His body is at rest. There is no unnecessary movement of any kind in his salat. He does not bring any kind of thoughts other than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala purposely in his salat. One is the thought just came. That is not objectionable. It is not possible for a person to keep out every thought from his mind. We are not of that level, and it would have become extremely difficult. So therefore it has been explained that to bring the thought, that is objectionable, and that is opposite of khushu. But if the thought just comes and you don't entertain it and you let it pass, then that is not objectionable. It will not be against khushu in salat. But the best thing for khushu is that the person learns the meaning of a few surahs which he always recites in salat. If the person wants concentration on in salat, then either he has got that degree of istihzar, conscious awareness that my Allah is watching this salat of mine. I am standing before my Allah. Like how if a person has been invited to the court of the king, and it's the first meeting of the king, and first time he got this kind of invitation, then look at the preparation that the person makes. Every year the king in Saudi Arabia invites a number of scholars, ulama, muftis and others in his court, and there they have a nice dinner or meal and some discussion. Every year he has one gathering like that. Selected people are invited. If you have to meet those people who are invited, there's so much of excitement. We are going to be meeting the king today. We'll be having dinner with the king today. And we'll be having discussion with the king today. The whole day goes in talking about nothing but the king and the dinner that they will be having with the king. And when they come out from there also, they just go on singing the praises of the king and the dinner that they had. Yet they are people of this world, and nothing is really in their hands. But that Allah who has blessed us with our life, with our health, with our wealth, with our sight and our hearing and our speech and our hands and our feet and our heart, liver and lungs and everything else that's functioning in our bodies and everything else around us, Allah Ta'ala is making it work. He is saying, now come and stand before me. I am inviting you. Hayya 'alal falah. That's what success is. Allah Ta'ala is inviting us to his court. And we turn far away. We ignore that call completely as if we never heard it. Especially when there's walimas and weddings and other kinds of functions and junctions. At that time, we ignore it completely. We are sitting right near the masjid, few doors away. But we will give it no concern at all. And those people who seem to be getting a little bit of interested in going for namaz, then sometimes we hear with our own ears, go and make namaz and come away. Azan just took place now. That means they're ordering, you go and make it. I'm not going to be coming, but you go make your namaz because you seem to be very much interested in going for namaz. Now is this not inviting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala? If that person behaves in an abnormal manner in that court, or he ignores that call, then what is going to happen? Will the king invite him again? So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving us the invitation to come towards success. And this is how we will get that concentration in salat. Everybody wants to know how to bring that concentration. That is how you bring it. Then picture yourself, it is a day of judgment. We are standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we are giving an account of all our actions and all our deeds. The earth has recorded every action and every deed of ours done on the ground. Everything is recorded. And our hands are going to bear testimony against us. Our eyes are going to give testimony. Our feet are going to give testimony. Every part of our body is going to give testimony. This is what I did. This is what I did. The one for whose pleasure we did, that is the nafs, now all is giving evidence against us. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So everything is giving testimony against us. We are standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we don't know whether the judgment, which way is going to go. Whether it's going to be guilty or not guilty. If a person has been charged for murder, and he's going to be sentenced. So at that time, everyone in the court, and especially the accused, he just looks at the lips of the judge. What is going to come out of those lips? Guilty or not guilty? That's all. At that time, if that person is looking around here, looking around there, is looking at the back and is talking to his family, have we seen anybody like that? Just when the judgment is just about to be given. In all court cases, you will find that that person at that time is just concentrating, is just, his mind is there. Now, what is he going to say? Go to prison or you are free? What is he going to say? So the person standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he pictures himself on the day of judgment, not knowing which side Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to send him. So how can he at that time be having his mind running in all directions? So that is the best. And if we cannot reach that stage, then at least begin with learning the meaning of those few surahs that we always read. I donah think anybody really reads Surah Baqarah in his salat. In nafil namazes, you heard of anybody reading Surah Baqarah, like besides those mashayikh of ours who read long rakats. But in our namazes, it's wal asr, inna a'tayna kal kawthar, wa qul huwa Allah. These are the surahs we read. Nothing wrong even if those surahs we read. But learn the meaning of those few surahs that we read and concentrate on that meaning. Then if the mind wanders, bring it back immediately to Salat. Then don't follow the trend, don't follow the mind where it is going. If we realize that it has wandered, then bring it back immediately to Salat. But khushu in Salat is something that is so important that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi and so many Hanabala ulama and Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi and others, they say if you don't have khushu in the salat from the beginning to the end, that salat is not valid. Now imagine if we had to follow that ruling and fatwa, which one of our salat is going to be valid? So we must be grateful to those who said that no, at least in the beginning and at the end, somewhere you must think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the ruh and the soul of the salat, they said, is khushu. So if you don't have khushu, that concentration in your salat, then the soul of that salat is missing. It is like a body without a soul. But they say that for the purposes of fatwa, that namaz is valid. You don't have to make qaza. But only not making qaza is not sufficient. We have to have the soul in that salat. There must be a body and soul. The ruku, the sajda, the qiyam, all these things are just the body. Now that khushu in that salat is the soul. Now if you have a huge body but there's no soul, of what benefit is that body? So we'll say at least there is some benefit in this, that the person doesn't have to make qaza. But all those benefits which have been promised and all those promises which have been made by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the performance of salat, that with salat you get mi'raj, and with salat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fulfills your needs and your desires, and Allah ta'ala finds a way out for you in your problems. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment even the slight breeze, strong breeze, and he used to hasten towards the masjid and engage himself in salat. And there are so many incidents, there's so many that no person can say that this is a lie. So much tawatu, millions of people throughout the ages. Problems came, they made two rakat salat, raised their hands before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and next thing they found, things are opening up for them. But what kind of salat? Now we also make salat, we also make our namaz, but we say that we are not finding those benefits. So then there's something wrong with our salat. There's nothing wrong with salat. If all cars of a certain make are moving very well on the road, and if there's something that, and our car is getting stuck, although it's of the same make, then we'll say there's something wrong with my car. There must be something clogged in the fuel system and have it checked up. So khushu in salat, if it is so important, if khushu in salat is so important, that the first thing that has been mentioned is khushu in salat, the humility in salat. for the sake of falah and complete success, if khushu is so important, then how important is salat itself? Here we are talking about the khushu in salat. So how much more important is that salat itself? But look at the negligence that we are showing to salat. Look at the football grounds, look at the cricket grounds, look at all the other sporting activities of ours, look at the televisions and the radio stations and everything else. The person is sometimes even listening to an Islamic program. Is listening to Islamic program. Quran tafsir, Hadith Sharif. And he will give you a complete rundown on what was on the Islamic radio, so-called Islamic radio stations. But he is missing his own salat. He wasn't there for salat. And others are occupied in all the other worldly things. So until the majority, at least the majority of the ummah is not going to come onto salat, and salat with khushu, we must forget about getting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy and rahmat coming upon the ummah. Many a times you must have heard of that hadith sharif, that the position of salat in deen is like the head in the human body. And I always say that the head in the human body, we know that a person can be dumb, he can be deaf, he can be blind, and he can be even paralyzed. But he is treated as being live. If somebody had to stab him or shoot him, he is going to be charged for murder. Why? Because he shot a person who had life in him. Although that person was blind, he was deaf, he was dumb, and he was paralyzed also. But take a gun and shoot him dead, they will charge him for murder. On the other hand, if another person, his head had been chopped off, and now if somebody takes a gun and shoots, then we will say that humiliation or he can be charged for some other kind of offense, but he's not going to be charged for murder because that person is already dead. So like that, the ummah today, the majority of the ummah in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is already dead. Now if somebody is crushing the ummah, if somebody is trampling upon the ummah, if somebody is kicking and booting the ummah, then in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that ummah is already dead, or the majority I'm talking about, who don't have salat in their lives. And travel out through the world and then see what percentage of people in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have got this important pillar in their lives. So then do we have any kind of reason to complain to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, oh Allah, we are suffering in the world. Indeed we are suffering. But why are we suffering? When we don't even have the first pillar in our lives, we are going to suffer. But because we are weak, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept the doors of tawbah open, that don't lose hope, no matter how far you may have gone, if you neglected salat all your life also. Now come to salat, fill up the masajid, and bring, and those who are making salat for years and years, then don't make it like how the hen picks up some grain from the ground. Some of our rukus and sajdas are like that. Before we have even raised our head properly from the ruku, without any sukoon coming, there is just nothing but harkat and movement. The person from the ruku, next thing is in sajda, and between the two sajdas also the person hardly even sits properly. And it's just like a race and chase, and he's quite happy, I made 5 time namaz. Now that kind of namaz is not going to bring those rewards. And then they say, we make 5 time namaz and still this happening, that happening. But what kind of 5 time namaz are we making? Therefore, that Ali radiallahu ta'ala, no, he said that khushu is that you should not look this side and that side from the corners of your eyes when you are in salat. When we are standing, at that time, as Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when you are standing, then your gaze should be where you are going to make sajda. When we are standing, at that time we should be looking at the place where we will be making sajda. And he said, don't look this side and that side with the corners of your eyes. So the jurists have said that when you're standing, you look at the place of sajda. When you're ruku, you look at your toes. When you are sitting in tashahud, at that time you look at your lap. But who is standing on the right? Who is standing on the left? And when we were children also, we know what kind of namaz we used to make. Allah Ta'ala make us maaf. But when you are standing, then you want to see who's on your right, who's on your left, what kind of watch he's wearing, what kind of watch that person is wearing, what kind of topi that man has got. And in the front there, who is scratching his toes while he's in sajda, everything you watch. So is that namaz? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw one person scratching his beard like that in salat. He said, if this person had khushu in his heart, then he would have had khushu also in his body. That means his body also, there would have been sukoon, no harkat and no movement. If that khushu and that humility was in his heart, then he wouldn't have been doing all that. Unless the person is desperate, he just can't avoid it, it is very difficult to control the urge to scratch his beard, then it is permissible. But unnecessarily to start coughing and to scratching beard and putting the hats right and checking the cell phones. In the Haram Sharif, I saw myself, I was sitting behind one person, and he was making his sunnat namaz. We had finished our sunnat namaz, we were sitting, and suddenly his cell phone rang. So first he made like that, but it didn't stop. When it rang again, then he took it out from his pocket, he looked at the number properly, pressed a few buttons, then he put it back, and Allah. Now is that salat? On that kind of salat, you get any rewards? So the different types of salat that we make. So if we are making salat 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, how long are we going to make that kind of salat? Read short surahs, no problem. But read it properly. Read it with some dignity. Place Allah Ta'ala before ourselves. We are standing before Allah Ta'ala. It's not just a joke. It is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tolerance that He gives us an opportunity. Come again, no mind, come again, try again, try again. Carry on. And some people carry on till the dying day, but it remains the same kind of salat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give us the best of dunya and akhirat. And some of those sifat and qualities and attributes that He wants us to develop in ourselves to get the Jannatul Firdaus is what is discussed in these ayat. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives life, health, and another opportunity to continue, then inshallah we will continue. Because we don't know when this visa of life is cancelled. Look at the number of people that are just going. And great ulama are going. Hazrat Mullah Qasim Sema Sahib became way rahmatullah alayhi. A long history of service to the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in different fields. He was also the one who was involved with the translation of the Quran Sharif into the Zulu language. I worked with him in those days. Very dedicated. So he's gone. One day we are going to go. Everybody has to go. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tausi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miyad uski nahi maloom. Extension impossible. Duration of time unknown. That's the visa of life. So we all say, next week I will do this, next year I will do this. Nothing wrong. Plan till next year, plan 50 years ahead. But believe that angel of death can come any time. Maut aakar bahosh ko behosh kar gayi. Maut aakar bahosh ko behosh kar gayi. Hangamae hayat ko khamosh kar gayi. Person who was flying from here to there, from there to here, throughout the world, doing big business deals and big transactions and visiting and touring and everything. Hangamaya hayat, very busy, he says, very busy, no time for namaz, no time for anything. Very busy he was. Bahosh considered himself to be very intelligent also and full of life. Maut aakar bahosh ko behosh kar gayi. Finish. Gone into coma, gone behosh. Hangamaya hayat ko khamosh kar gayi. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgive each and every one of us. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Barik wa sallim.
يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار الغيوب غفار الذنوب الله. We are extremely sinful servants of yours, my beloved Allah. We have been negligent in every ibadat. Ya Allah, our salat does not have khushu. Our ibadat does not have ruh and soul. My beloved Allah, we have been negligent. Our whole life has been spent in nothing but a negligence, ghaflat. We have spent our life in ghaflat, my beloved Allah. But we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying our sins. Ya Allah, we are not advertising our sins in newspapers, over the radio stations and on television. Give the Ummah the tawfiq to realize that sins should not be advertised, sins should not be propagated, sins should not be bragged over. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of our sins. Major sins and minor sins, forgive them. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, forgive them. Sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights, forgive them. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Ey mere Allah, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai. Hum sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai. Tujhe chhod ke mere maula, hum gande jaye kahan. Where do we go, my Allah? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Hawa o hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma. دل بدل گنہگاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں بدل دے میرا رستہ دل بدل دے. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our hearts. The Sahaba Ikram رضی اللہ عنہ مجمعین came from different backgrounds, but when they accepted Islam, Ya Allah, you made them رضی اللہ عنہم ورضوان. آج بھی تو وہی خدا ہے. You are the same Allah. Ya Allah, no weakness has come in you. No weakness, my beloved Allah, has come in you. Today you have the same power as you had then. Ya Allah, you can change the condition of our hearts. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us all yours and become ours. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problem of the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, don't look at our sins, my beloved Allah. If you have to look at our sins, none of us would be deserving of being alive on the surface of this earth. Ya Allah, look at your shan of being Rahim and Kareem. Tu Rahim hai, Tu Kareem hai. Tu Sattar hai, Tu Ghaffar hai. Mere Mawla, hum gunegar hai. Forgive each and every one of us. Bless us all with good health, my beloved Allah. We are sick and ailing. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Whosoever is sick, my Allah, whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes, amongst us, those who have undergone operations, those who are going to undergo operations, those who have met up with accidents, Ya Allah, those who are suffering in any way around the globe, Ya Allah, remove their suffering. Bless them with complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. My beloved Allah, remove from our hearts pride and arrogance, jealousy and envy. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, barakat in our time, barakat in our lives. Protect our iman, protect our Islam, protect our homes, our properties. Ya Allah, change the conditions of adversity in this country to that of prosperity. Change the condition of crime to that of security. Ya Allah, it is not difficult for you to bless everyone with hidayat, with iman and with Islam. Ya Allah, hamari hifazat farma. Hum sabko ek bana de aur nek bana de. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyiba, with burial in Baqi. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Surat-e-Mustaqim. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the goodness that he asked from you for the ummah, bless us with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires, of the wishes, of the aspirations, of the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and everyone who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. Those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with pious, righteous, compatible marriage partners. Whatever other wishes there are in the hearts of them, Ya Allah, fulfill those wishes. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problem, the sicknesses, the diseases that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night is suffering or going through. With your fazl, with your ihsan, with your kindness, remove those sufferings, pain, difficulties, problems, tests and trials. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ